Do they do spells and ride around on broomsticks?
Oh, yes.
No wonder you ran away.
What? Oh, no, it's not like that. I mean, they're not bad. It's much worse than that.
Worse than bad?
They think they know what's best for everybody. Christine's forehead wrinkled as it tended to when she was contemplating a problem more complex than, what is your name?
That doesn't sound very bad.
They mess people around. They think that just because they're right, that's the same as good. It's not even as though they do any real magic. It's all fooling people and being clever. They think they can do what they like. The force of the words knocked even Christine back.
Oh dear. Did they want you to do something?
They want me to be something, but I'm not going to. Christine stared at her and then automatically forgot everything she'd just heard.
Come on, she said. Let's have a look around.
Nanny Ogg balanced on a chair and took down an oblong wrapped in paper. Granny watched sternly with her arms folded.
Thing is, Nanny babbled under the laser glare, my late husband, I remember him once saying to me, after dinner, he said, you know, Mother, it'd be a real shame if all the stuff you know just passed away when you did. Why don't you write some of it down? So I scribbled the odd one when I had a moment, and then I thought it'd be nice to have it all properly done. So I sent it off to the almanac people in Unkmorpork, and they hardly charged me anything, and a little while ago they sent me this. I think it's a very good job. It's amazing how they get all the letters so neat.
You done a book, said Granny.
Only cookery,
said Nanny Ogg meekly, as one might plead a first offence.
"What do you know about it? You hardly ever do any cooking," said Granny.
"I do specialities," said Nanny.
Granny looked at the offending volume.
"The Joy of Snacks," she read aloud. "By a Lankra Witch. Heh, why didn't you put your own name on it, eh? Books got to have a name on them so's everyone knows who's guilty."
"It's my gnome de plume," said Nanny. "Mr. Gortberger, the almanac man, said it'd make it sound more mysterious."
Granny cast her gimlet gaze to the bottom of the crowded cover, where it said in very small lettering, CXXV11th, printing, more than 20 thousand sold, $1.50.
"You sent them some money to get it all printed?"
"Only a couple of dollars," said Nanny. "Damn good job they made of it, too. And they sent the money back afterwards, only they got it wrong, and sent $3 extra."
Granny Weatherwax was grudgingly literate, but keenly numerate. She assumed that anything written down was probably a lie, and that applied to numbers, too. Numbers were used only by people who wanted to put one over on you. Her lips moved silently as she thought about numbers.
"Oh," she said quietly. "And that was it, was it? You never wrote to him again?"
"Not on your life. $3, mind. I didn't want him saying he wanted them back."
"I can see that," said Granny, still dwelling in the world of numbers.
She wondered how much it cost to do a book. It couldn't be a lot. They had sort of printing mills to do the actual work.
"After all, there's a lot you can do with $3, said Nanny.
"Right enough," said Granny. "You ain't got a pencil about you, have you? You being a literary type and all."
"I got a slate," said Nanny.
"Pass it over then.
I've been keeping it by me in case I wake up in the night and I get an idea for a recipe. See?" said Nanny.
"Good," said Granny vaguely.